Praise the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can see the glory of the Lord pouring down. Bible says glory is our reward, angels descending and ascending. We are called to the innumerable company of angels. Father, we thank the Lord. The angel of the Lord himself encamp around us, delivering us from all the sinners, or the fowler, in this last age. Blessed be the name, O Lord. Father, thank you, Lord God, for us. Read your word this morning. We trust you, Lord, that you will help us. Lord, O God, give us a better understanding of your word. And, O Lord God, with you, we go forth as more than conquerors. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Well, our sister was testifying here and something like that, concerning Easter. I was sharing with some people, I don't know whether over the weekend and so on and that, I was saying, was Christ even crucified on a Friday? I don't think so. Because in Matthew 12:40, I don't even have it open here. He said that as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and nights and so on that, If Christ was crucified on a Friday, how can it be 3 days, and three nights? Can be. So many prophetic writers, and I believe myself that it was on Thursday. I don't want to go too deep into that, but just a food of thought. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
How people in the world, and so on, with Catholicism and so on, mixed with things, Babylon, religion, and so on, mixed together up here. But they thank God, like Asisa was saying, the elect of God over the world, they are getting it. The rapture is near. It's revealing its secret to its elect. The world church, we know nothing about it, So, and also, we notice that, even talking about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, how the old ancient prophet, Daniel in particular, you say, why don't you talk about Daniel? Because he talks so much about the time of the Gentiles. And that time is finishing up right now. So we know that it's at the 69th week of the 70 week determined upon the people, the Jews, of which we know 1 week is 7 years. He said it's at the cutoff. That was he said in Daniel chapter 9. About the 27th, but I believe it is, say the cut off and so forth. Not of himself, he said. And then we know, he said for the time, that the where it was declared or decreed that Jerusalem should be delivered. Sardis, the Persian king and so forth in 445 BC, according to historical record that matches the Bible, he gave the edict that they can go back and rebuild the Jerusalem and the temple and so forth. From that time, the Bible is the 70 weeks at the time and so on. And he said at the 69th week and so on like that, he said that it the cut off and so forth. And truly in history, exactly on April 2nd, AD 30, that is what the people call Palm Sunday today, that's when the Lord triumphantly entered Jerusalem, right? And it was, historically speaking, it was April 2nd, AD 30, and so on that, And on the 1 week later, exactly April 9th, AD 30, that's when the resurrection took place. So just historically speaking, how the world church can be very wrong, but we thank God as we near the coming of the Lord, the true elect are getting the true picture. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation, foundation fact on which Christianity is built. 1 Corinthians 15:17 says this. 15:17. If Christ did not raise, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. But the 20th verse says this, praising God. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. Amen? He is risen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, many people people don't really understand the Bible. And they say that it's a conflict or confusion between the gospel and in the recording of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, by the grace of God, I just want to, by the Holy Spirit here, just walk through the day of resurrection. We can't cover all the events of that day, but we can pick from, we can see how the Holy Spirit put together in all the four gospels. We're going to take a little bit here from one gospel and some of that, and see how they harmonize. There is no discrepancy, amen? Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
God's word is true, there's no confusion in there. Mark 16, the verse 31. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Jesus, of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. What a sign, at the rising of the sun. Praise God. Amen. Now, as they said among themselves, who shall, roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Now, see this, the women, of course, they were surprised that the heavy stone, had been rolled away from the sepulchre. What happened? They were thinking, did some vandals come and rolled away the stone and stole the body of the Lord? Just walking through their thoughts now, Well, when it became plain that the body of the Lord Jesus was not there, Mary Magdalene left at once to bring the astonishing news to Peter and John. Like I said, by the Holy Spirit, just put together from all the four Gospels, and we see the harmony. So how do we know that she did that? In John 20 verse 2, then she, meaning Mary Magdalene, if you read verse 1 of it, but verse 2, runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and we know that is John, right? And said unto him, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. So we just go through the scripture, if you put it together, there's no confusion at all. Anyway, so now, the other women, the three of them, right? The other women stayed behind, so they became aware. So, Mary Magdalene has gone to see Peter and John, to go and tell them the news. How about the remaining women? So the other women behind, suddenly they became aware of a young man sitting within, on the right side of the sepulchre, who addressed them, informing them that the Lord has risen. That is back in Mark 16, right? Go to jump back and forth to see the harmony of the scripture. Back to Mark 16, verse 5, where we were before. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciple and Peter. What a wonder. Wasn't Peter a disciple? If I have time, I talk about that particular clause later, Wasn't Peter one of the disciples? But he said, go and tell his disciple and Peter. Why did he say go and Peter? Anyway, if I have time, depending on what we have here, that he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him, as he has said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed, and neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid, the Bible says. Now, what do we see here? So the heavenly visitation so deeply affected Mary, the mother of James and Salome. That are the only two that were remaining when, after all, Magdalene had gone to talk to Peter and John, right? That they, without waiting for Mary to come back, to return from Peter and John, they hastened, hastened to to the apostle to carry out the heavenly messenger's instruction, go and tell his disciples, right? So while Mary Magdalene was gone to Peter and John, the rest of them, they ran to the other apostles, go and tell them what the heavenly messenger told them, Meanwhile, Mary Magdalene had arrived at Peter and John's house, and burst in open with the strange news that we read in John 20:22, say, oh, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. of course, Peter and John were so startled by this tidings that they began to run toward the sepulchre and so forth. In fact, they just left Mary Magdalene behind, and the verse 3 of John 20. So we read that Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, meaning John, and come to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, meaning John outrun Peter, and came forth to the sepulchre. And he is stooping down, and looking in, saw the lining clothes lying. Yet went he not in, the Bible says. Then cometh Simon Peter, who was lagging behind, John had thrown him and so on, following him. And Peter just went in, you know how he does his thing, just went right into the sepulchre, and see the lining clothes lie. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the lining clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that disciple. So now John had confidence to go in, now to go into the sepulchre himself, which came forth to the sepulchre. And he saw and believed. Verse 9 says, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Even though the Lord told them many, many times, human nature can quickly forget things. At least 5 times in the Bible, he told them that he will be crucified, and the third day he will rise from the dead, and so on, but they didn't know. Now, Peter and John's findings, let's talk about that a little bit, let's talk about their findings. Number one, the sepulchre was obviously empty, but the circumstances were puzzling indeed. The grave clothes, we are told, were lying there, as if the body had evaporated right through death. They were in the same shape as when he was in that clothing and so forth, there were the grave clothes on one side, still undisturbed, as if encasing the body, and the clothes that had held his head, his sacred head, I would call it, lying separate, as was the custom in those days when they buried the dead, they put them in the tomb and so on. But where his face would have been, there was nothing. Can you imagine? You can picture it for yourself, as if he just evaporated out of it. What was it? Only a supernatural miracle could have whisked the Lord's body away and left those grave clothes in the manner that the Bible describes here. Only the supernatural miracle of the Lord. Everything about that is a miracle, isn't it? His birth was a miracle. His death was a miracle. His resurrection was a miracle. His ascension was a miracle. His coming back will be a miracle. The rapture will be a miracle. Your salvation is a miracle. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Moreover, who could have carried the body of the Lord, without the wrapping? Who could have done that? The people who are reading humanly and so it's a supernatural event. Well, slowly begin to dawn on them. What happened there? What of a supernatural nation? The word of the Lord Jesus Christ began to dawn on them that he had risen from the dead. Now talking about maybe Magdalene now, who went to Peter and John, what happened? Probably maybe, because Peter and John are trying, they just left her behind. And so we would think that we go quickly, totally in the morning, right? Maybe quickly run to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Maybe we run there and tell them the news of what has happened. We're just really between the lines here, what has happened and so on that, So, so she was by herself and so on that, in the meantime, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, who had went to the other disciple, who saw the young man and had left the tomb to carry the astonishing news to the other disciples, have begun to locate each disciple, right? They will not go to Peter and John because they know that Mary the Magdalene has gone to them, right? They wouldn't go to Peter and John because she left before them and that, But they go and locate the other disciples, you know, and tell them the news. Well, the disciples responded to their tidings that they had seen a celestial or celestial, you know, being, you know, with stark unbelief. Bible says they were in unbelief when they got the report of the women at first. And they were crediting their story as hallucination caused by excited mind, they think. Now, meanwhile, after the departure of Peter and John from the sepulchre, and also, you know, the women, the other women, without being Magdalene, when they all left there, we believe that Mary the Magdalene had an urge to revisit the sepulchre again. Peradventure, if you can find some clue to what was happening and so forth. So that's what we thought, and I believe that is true from the other part of the scriptures and so on. So she went back to the sepulchre, and she looked upon arrival, and of course, as before, the body wasn't even there and so forth, you know. She was convinced maybe that some grave robbers have come and profaned the tomb and taken away the lost body. That's what she was thinking at first. That's in John 20 verse 11. I feel like we jump from gospel to gospel here. John 20, 11 says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre." Don't forget, in the beginning of the book of Mark, there were three of them. Like I told, I just separated it to see how, from the other gospel, how that, you know, how this thing happened and so forth. 13 verse 6. And he said two angels in white, sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, "Women, why weepest thou?" She said unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." Well, we believe so those angels made some gesture to him or to her or some sign to her, you know, so that she turned herself around. And when she did, you know, when she did, and she saw a man, from what the Bible says here, who she thought was a gardener, you know, and but we know it was the Lord Jesus Christ disguised, you know. Many a time in that day, we can't go through all the events of the day. The Lord, after rising from the dead, he showed himself many, many times, and you be instructed by your own self. He only lets you know that he is one when he wants. You know, he can disguise himself. So in this case, he disguised himself so much that Mary thought he was a gardener, you know. And that gardener replied to her, going to accuse her. "What do you want? You are trespassing." She was thinking all those things and so forth. So in verse 15 of John 20, Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She is surpassing him to be the gardener, said unto her, or to him rather, "Sir, if you have borne him in, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away," she said, and so on. Well, and the Lord just said one word only. "Mary," he said. That was enough for Mary the Magdalene and so on. The familiar inflection of the Lord's voice caught her attention right away at once. She would have flung herself at his feet and worshipped him right away, thinking that the Lord has been restored unto her on the same basis as of old. But he greatly repulsed her. In verse 16 of John 20, Jesus said unto her, "Mary," she turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Jesus said unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and then to your Father, and to my God and your God." Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my, that's why when he taught us, "Oh, teach us how to pray," you know, he told him. As I was praying, at the same place, the Bible said, and when he finished, he said, "Teach us how to pray." You pray this way, "Our Father who art in heaven," amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Anyway, so we see that there, and you know, so we see, you know, so to your Father and so on. There is, you know, there is some mystery you know, in those words that the Lord speak to Mary the Magdalene. For one thing is this, because later we see in another part of the Bible or the Gospel, those other women, the Lord appeared to them, and then because he said, "Don't touch me here," right? But another part of the Bible, I'm going to read it in Matthew 28, verse 9. Here's what it says. And as they went to tell his disciples, those other women that know that many, you know, to tell his disciples, Jesus met them saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. See that? So now, the question often asked is this. Why did the Lord forbid Mary Magdalene to touch him? And shortly after, permitted the other women to do so. People will ask that question. Well, the only possible answer is that in the meantime, the Lord, when he left Mary Magdalene, the Lord has sweetly ascended to the Father in heaven and returned. So the what he did, you know, all that the Lord did, they are always scriptural. We always say this all the time, that the Old Testament is the new concealed, and the new is the old revealed. Amen?
Amen.
What he did here is what the priest in the Old Testament used to do. Let me show you that's what in Leviticus 16:16. That's exactly what the priests do in the Bible. Let me read it to you. Now, and he, meaning the high priest, shall make an atonement for the holy in the tabernacle in the wilderness, and also the temple that Solomon built. There are different sections. That is the holy place, and that is the most holy place, right? So that was what he's talking about here. So, and he, meaning the priest, shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgression in all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. Look at the next verse. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when that high priest goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until they come out. That's exactly, you know, what is happening here. After the high priest in the Old Testament had offered the blood of the atonement on the altar on the day of atonement, if anyone touches him, you know, before he can come out of that holy place and so forth, and carry the blood into the, you know, into the most holy place, then I make the atonement, the offering was of no avail. If anybody, that's why it's saying that Leviticus and so on. So in the same manner, so this was a type. So as far as the Lord is concerned, what he did there was the anti-type, you know, of what happened in Leviticus, the 16th chapter and so forth, that, you know. So, and so it's anti-type. So the type was the Lord Jesus Christ, having shed his blood, on the altar of the cross, and then ascended to heaven to present his blood there. Therefore, Mary to have touched him before he did that would have, vitiated the blood of the cross, the work of the cross. Praise the Lord Jesus. Everything he did was according to the scriptures he was foretold before or foreshadowed before in the Old Testament. You can go and study the Leviticus 16 for yourself and see what I'm trying to say here. So the thing is this, after leaving Mary, the summary is this. The Lord presented the sacred blood in heaven. And then returned, met the other women, as recorded in that verse I read to you in Matthew 28:9. So that's what it took place in India. There's no other way to explain it. So let's go forward here now. That's stuff that really, there's no read in India. God revealed it and that way, and that was really happened and so forth, you know. Now, Mary Magdalene, was a marvelous object lesson to us here about this woman. Don't forget, this is the woman from whom the Lord cast out seven devils, right? And she was the fourth that we see the Lord after he rose from the dead. What was it? Well, in another place, Remember the woman with the alabaster oil, you know, that came to anoint the Lord and so forth, and washed our Lord's feet with his tears, and wiped our feet with our hair and so forth. So from there we can learn that unto whom much is forgiven, loveth much, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So that's what we are seeing here. So an object lesson from there, you know, for that woman and so on, that, you know. So anyway, so the Lord showed himself to her, you know, forth and so forth. You know, I said at one time that, you know, before here, I said, go and tell my disciples and Peter. Let me just say a few words about that, you know. Don't forget, you know, it appeared that before Mary Magdalene arrived, from what you can see from that scripture, Peter went the second time to the tomb. But we cannot say now, I don't want to be dogmatic on that, but looking at the other scriptures together, Peter went there the second time, you know, by himself now, you know, as soon as that, you know. It is not unlikely that he did, you know, to spend some time alone there in reflection, you know, or to see if he truly see the angels that the women talk about, you know, maybe, we don't know. So, but it's not impossible that he did that. So we see that in Luke 24 verse 12. You know, I say I'm going to be jumping from gospel to see that all harmonized and so forth, you know. In Luke 24 verse 12, then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre and took him down. He beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself. No, John was mentioned here, right? Is that right? You know, and departed wondering in himself at that which was come to pass, where apparently he did not meet the angels anyway. But nevertheless, before the day was fast advanced, he met the Lord himself. You say, why do you say that? 1 Corinthians 15, the very glorious chapter on resurrection and so forth, the Apostle Paul speaking by divine inspiration, talking about the different appearances of the Lord, and he said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, right? He was seen of Cephas, so Peter saw him after the resurrection, praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Bible says, you see this good table, you know, and so that, you know, and that's recording, Apostle Paul by the Holy Ghost, didn't even mention Mary the Magdalene, amen? Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is, but I didn't say Corinthians 15 for yourself, you know. Anyway, he was seen of Cephas. Then, of the 12, he said, and we are also told that, you know, this appearance of the Lord to Peter was just the first of a series of visitations to the apostles. Don't forget, on the way to Emmaus, two of them, Cleopas, the Bible named one of them. The other one, we don't know his name. I call him Cleopas as a friend. Luke 24, verse 13, 33 rather. I can't go through the other story. And they, meaning those, after the Lord appeared to those two of them, they were talking about the rest of the day. And, you know, the Lord, you know, just disguised himself again, you know. And say, what are you guys talking about? Are you a stranger in Jerusalem that you don't know what has happened? And the Lord said, what happened? How, you know, he talked about the story and how the Lord Jesus Christ, a mighty prophet and so forth, you know, how he was killed. You know, some of us allowed that statement and went to the sepulchre this morning, and they said an angel told them and so on. Then the Lord began to, Bible say, he rebuked them anyway. Slow of our fools, slow of us to believe all that the prophet has said. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, to die and to have risen for the third day and so forth? Bible say, then he expanded unto them in all the scriptures pertaining unto them, from Genesis to Revelation, from Moses throughout all the prophets. About himself and so on that, you know. Anyway, cut over 33, as they were going, of course, you know, the Bible says, he did as if he just passed by. Then they say, the night is first, come and, you know, stay with us and so on. Anyway, that's the story. In verse 33, he went in with them and brought them bread, and when he broke the bread, their eyes were opened, amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. The last act he did, you know, and so on before the crucifixion, he performed it again, you know, when he appeared to these two people, and their eyes were opened. And of course, today, who said that the night is already here, they set out to go to Jerusalem. That same night, They were so excited. Revelation 1, praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. They didn't care about I'm Robert anymore. They just were going back to the church that night. Anyway, talking about Peter now. No, I said that Apostle Paul said that he was sent of Cephas, right? In Luke 24, verse 33. And they, meaning Cleopas and his friend, rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. Now look at this verse, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Is that right? Praise the Lord. So you see, I cannot see, you know, why the Lord singled out Simon Peter, you know, and so on. Say, go and tell my disciples, and you know, I Simon, that you are sitting for the dead and so forth. Now we can think about this, you know, don't worry about those about 3-4 days before, you know what happened. Peter, as you know, you already told Peter before that before they call crow, right, you will deny me 3 times, right? Oh, Peter said, not me, I'm sorry, that, you know, oh, I'm going to die with you. But it happened exactly as the Lord said it will be, right? So people approach her. Are you not one of them? Are you not a Galilean? And something like that, you know. And they begin to call. And I don't even know him, and so on. And then the cock crew. Bible says he wept bitterly, and so on. That's about 4 days before, right? Before the resurrection, and so on. That's before the crucifixion and the resurrection, and so on. So I think he was in deep depression. And the Lord wants to comfort him. I believe this is just my way of thinking. It's not written in the Bible this way, and so on, that, you know. So why say Peter, I believe God wants to comfort him and say, you know, to tell him that he is forgiven. Don't go into depression, that I've forgiven you, and so on. And the Lord reminded him too. So the Lord, seeing the depth of his repentance at that time, must have turned the conversation away to the things which he has spoken prophetically before his death. In Luke 22, verse 32. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou hast converted, strengthen thy brethren. So by the time the interview with Peter was finished, I think he was strengthened, I believe it is, and so on. He must have felt that, look, I have a reprieve from death itself, Peter will think. Anyway, I believe that's why the Lord just singled him out there, you know, when he said, go and tell my disciple, and Peter, and so on, that, you know, so he went about the mission that God gave him. Just spend a little time about why he singled out Peter, you know, something like that, you know. Anyway, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ changed the whole attitude of the disciples toward him, right there, and they completely revolutionized their lives and became the central theme of their preaching throughout the early church. That was it. Look at the book of Acts and so forth, you know. There are those people who don't believe in the resurrection, the Sadducees and so on, that, you know. Anyway, the central theme of their preaching, Apostle Peter and so on, that, you know. Oh, you know, and so on, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, the standard of God's power in the Old Testament was the exodus of the chain of Israel out of Egypt, was a standard of God's power. Where the New Testament, the standard of God's power in the New Testament is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was the culmination of all of the Lord's miracles right here. Where, you know, as God, he laid down his life on the cross, and as God, he rose from the dead. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And as a testimony to the fact that the Lord rose from the dead, we have the observance of the fourth day of the week, or the Lord, that's why we are here on a Sunday. It's because that is the day the Lord, they call it the Lord's Day, right? Praise the Lord. Amen. Some call it the Lord's Day as an observer, you know, that is the day he rose from the dead, the fourth day of the week. You know, in Mark 16, we have to say, at the very fourth day of the week, early in the morning, right? So it's a testimony that even as we worship on Sunday, don't mind the 7 day Adventist and so on like that, you know. So that's a different story. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, his resurrection from the dead is the proof of his deity. That's right. Yeah. He is being risen from the dead, the proof of his deity. Why do we say that? Many great men have lived and made their mark on the world, but they all died, and their bones still lie in their graves. I can mention a few of them. Go to the Invalids of Paris. I was there. We saw them. That's where we saw where the, you know, that big place where you have the soldiers guarding. What? So who are the soldiers? That is Napoleon, where Napoleon is. Now, go to the, go to the Invalids of Paris. And you may gaze at the sealed tomb of Napoleon. His body is still there. Or if you like, go to Westminster Abbey in London. One can see the mausoleum that hold the bodies of many of Britain's greatest statesmen and kings. Their bones are still there, moldering in the dust. Or in America here, go to Mount Vernon. The last resting place of George Washington, who is called the father of United States of America. His body is still lying in the tomb right there. One by one, the world's great as well as the small have been laid away in their resting places. Only in one place in the whole wide world is there an empty tomb. That is located in Jerusalem at the foot of Calvary, where they once lay our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only empty tomb. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Go to Egypt. All the miniature pyramids of the pharaohs, they are there. No, praise the Lord. Only one tomb. That of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the revelation of the scripture is that death did not conquer Christ. Not at all. Rather, he yielded up his life on his own accord. He even told us in John 2:19, Jesus answered and said unto them, oh, they say, give us a sign. There are already so many signs. You just turn water into wine. What sign do you show unto us? In John 2:19, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 days was this temple in building, and will thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remember that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which he had said. In John 10:17, and saying that they did not conquer Christ, Christ pursued death to his own place and destroyed him. Anyway, John 10:17. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man take it from me, not Pilate, not the Roman soldier, not any of those things, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself, and I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I see. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is a proof again that death has been conquered also. It's another proof and so forth. When he appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos, he declared in Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And he said, amen. And he put amen there. Praise the Lord. And I have the keys of hell and of death. So another wonder. It's a whole subject to go and talk about those 3 days. That's a different subject entirely. And so forth. Can't go there right now. Anyway, so we see right there. Now, in 2 Timothy 1:10, we are told that he has abolished death. I'm saying that his resurrection is a proof that death has been conquered, 2 Timothy 1:10, he has abolished death, and has brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. In Hebrews 2:14, talking about its resurrection, it's a proof that death has been conquered. Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and Deliver them, who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject into bondage. In Romans 8:11, Bible says that if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, see, when you talk about our benefits and so on, that you know, we have eternal life by resurrection and so on, some of it, from the dead dwell in you. Isn't that wonderful? That same spirit that raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead dwelleth in you and I as God's children. Amen? Praise the Lord. To me, it's a wonder of wonders, you know. See? You know? Now, let me say it again. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. That is in two ways. To the living Christian, quicken you, make you well, strengthen you, and so on that, you know. And to the saints who are sleeping at the resurrection day, and so on that, you know, when they come back again, you know, quicken them and bring them back again. So it's two ways, 2 years to what he's saying here. To the living, yeah, quicken, you know, and so on that, you know, give you strength, give you health, and anything like that, you know. Now, Romans 6:9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more. I'm wrapping up with some of the benefits for you and I, you know, of his resurrection. That will cover, I don't know how many weeks to talk about the benefits of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me mention a few things in closing this morning. So in Romans 6:9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, died no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Now come to you and I. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. Wonderful, wonderful scripture. Quickened us together with Christ. By grace he has saved. And then look at verse 6. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Mystery of mysteries, yes. That is the word of God. That's how God sees us right now. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And then we know at the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, his body underwent a fundamental change when he rose from the dead. It was a glorification, I would call it, you know, after he rose from the dead. It was able, that body, after resurrection, it was able to accommodate itself to two worlds. In other words, the law could adapt himself to physical laws, but he was not bound by those laws. Amen? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. That's right. You know, he could accommodate physical laws and so, but he wasn't bound by them. I mean, by those laws at all. He's the creator of all the laws and so forth, that, you know. So the revelation we have of his resurrection, it's relevant to us again in this manner. We shall receive a body like him, that is glorified body. Amen. Mm. Praise the Lord. Mm. Talking about the benefit of many of them, we don't receive a body like his own body. Let's see 1 John 1:3. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when it shall appear, we shall be like him. Amen. Praise the Lord. He is glorified. We will be the glorified body when he comes back and so on. For we shall see him as he is. Another scripture, I like this one. Well, I like all the scripture. Philippians 3:20-21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working, whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Amen? Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. To have like body, like he did after he rose from the dead. This body that you are going to receive from the Lord will be a distinctively different body from what we just have now. It will not be subject to disease. There will be no aging. You know, as one of the Gospels, Bible say, at the rolling of the stone from the mouth of the sepulchre, who was told there was a young man that stood upon that stone and stood for an angel. Who know how many years, maybe young of years old, amen? Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so we see that right now. So that's no more, when we get that body, no more disease, no more aging, no more physical limitation at all, like Christ, we shall never die, Bible says there. So anyway, so you can travel the universe and so forth. Now, they have discovered so many universes and so forth. We talk about that all the time and so forth. You can travel to any of them at God's command at the speed of thought, amen? How we say the speed of thought is far, far greater than the speed of light, amen? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The light that you are seeing from the moon takes about 3.5, minutes or so to get here, round trip and so forth. That is the nearest neighbor we have here, which is the moon, our satellite. Satellite means that orbits our earth, right? And of course, the light, from the nearest star here, Alpha Centauri, has taken many, many, many years to get here. But in this body that you are going to receive, just like the Lord just went to heaven, right? I don't know how many seconds it takes to come back between the two women, right? So you see, at the speed of thought, so that you can travel anywhere according to God's purpose and so forth, So anyway, so now, God is getting ready to display another star. I told you about in the Old Testament, the standard of God's power was the Exodus, right? And in the New Testament, the standard of God's power was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is now about to display another standard of his power to close the church age in this New Testament era that we are living in right now, That standard will be the coming, is coming for the bride, which will be invisible to the world. Revelation 4:1, what I'm talking about now. And, at the close of this church age, God is about to display another standard of his power. He's coming and secretly catching away his bride. That's what I'm talking about. Now, Revelation 4:1 says this. After this, meaning at the end of the church age, because prior to that chapter is like the Laodicean church age, right? Which is the last one, the seventh one. After this, meaning the church age and so on, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, notice that word, the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. Well, let's close with this scripture here. In the second, first, Samuel chapter 4, verse 16, it's similar. There was a voice, there was a trumpet. Like you see in the Revelation chapter 4, and that's another scripture for the rapture. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Didn't John say in John chapter, Revelation 4, and he said that the first thing I heard was a voice, right? I thought it was a trumpet. And here he said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the what a time we are living in. And so all prophecy, are closing out on the Gentiles. Whatever is remaining goes to the Jews. And so that's why we have to watch for him daily. Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our prayer is always this. Why are we here really? Partly, the other sheep I have, which I must also bring, is to preach the gospel, not the God. Say in Matthew 24, 14 to verse, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness to the nations. Or the other way, They may not all receive it, but the witness is going up. Lord, we thank you, Father. We worship you. We thank you for the, you know, the what is happening in technology, you know, that favor the gospel, where you can preach the gospel better than any other time. People can be here, they can be hearing this sermon, maybe in Russia, if we so make it to be so. The gospel is going on. So we know we are at the end of the age. We know, O Lord God, that, you know, Israel is in our own land. That is God's calendar. You know, and want to know what God is doing, look at Israel. So we know that, Lord, the time is at hand. And you said, when they disperse, when you talk of their dispersion, and they are coming again, Jerusalem, you know, shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. That has taken place since 1967. So therefore, we are in transition time. So therefore, Lord, we thank you for waking us up, Lord. We are not children of the night. By the grace of God, that day will not come upon us unaware. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are children of the light. Father, we thank you. I count us worthy to continually be of death, who in Matthew 25 gave that shout, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Not to sleep, not even as the wise virgins be, Lord, but now by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving that shout that behold the bridegroom coming. Revelation 19 says, let us be glad and rejoice, for the marriage supper of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. I count us worthy to be of them who are ready. Matthew 25:10 said that they that are ready went in there, Lord, with the bridegroom. Lord, so that we pay this morning, Lord, that after all these things, Lord, that which we have received, that we do not let them slip out of our hands, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until that day, Lord, we are believing you for, you know, we are looking forward. Thank you for all the crusades of the past, all the, you know, revivals of the past. We are looking for the most glorious revival ever took place. How do we know? We are told in, you know, the book of Joel, it shall come to pass in the last days. Part of my spirit upon all flesh, the Bible says, our sons and our daughters will prophesy. The Bible says so. We don't keep our eyes there, as the Bible has said, Lord. And you know, so we are looking under God, and you know, and that even our time, this thing will be. So Lord, and we know that, you know, you pray to supply all our need. Lord, the Bible says so, our God will supply all our need according to his riches in glory by our Lord Jesus Christ. We will not forget Elijah, a tithe, O Lord. Even in the drought and so forth, you help him, angels fed him, you know, you sent him to the widow of Zarephath. So we know all those things. There are, you know, there are a tithe, O Lord God, what we did at the rapture time, which we are living in right now, Lord. So we thank you, Father. We worship you. We commit the witness to your hand, Lord. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, all our way committed to your hand, Lord, O Father. Our work, our business, we know you have interest in them. Bible says, commit thy works unto the Lord. So shall your thoughts be established. Bible says, whatsoever we do shall prosper. So we believe you for all these things, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in all the things that we are expecting you to do for us, Lord, that are tied to the word of God, not one of them will fail. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Blessed be thy name, O Lord. Lord, say we shall eat in plenty and be satisfied in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both spiritual and temporal, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
That expectation shall not be cut off, said the Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we thank you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.